As we come together on this evening to worship God in spirit and in truth, thankful once again for Brother Michael, who was added to the body on this morning, that we may continue to pray not only for him, but also for all our new converts, that they may grow according to the will of God. This evening, I have a question that was put in the box on last Sunday, and the individual is here on this evening, and I'm going to answer it on this evening instead of waiting to next Sunday morning, and I did not answer it on this morning. But as we consider what the Lord says in His Word to all things, making sure that we look in His Word in order to get all the Bible answers. The question, or first off, is a statement and then a question. The statement is, I don't understand how we can depart from the faith and not sin. Not being able to depart from the faith and not sin. And the question isn't leaving the faith a sin? Isn't leaving the faith a sin? And as we consider the question, let us remember that once again, we go to God's Word and we look at several different things that come from it. We start out first off in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and the verses 1. Hebrews chapter 11 and the verses 1, understanding what faith is and knowing what we must do in order to be pleasing to God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and also verse 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The answer is right there. We don't have to go any further. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So the answer is very simple. But what I want to do for the next 5 minutes is go and to look at, if I can pull it back up, just give me 1 second here, to look at some instances of individuals that forsook God, denied the faith, turned their backs on Him. And all the ones that we look at, and we're going to look at these men, all of these individuals were in sin. They didn't start in sin, but they ended in sin. Some came back and some didn't. We first look at those in the book of John, chapter 6, in the verses 66. John chapter 6, verse 66. The disciples of our Lord. Now, not the apostles, but disciples of the Lord. We look at what he says here. And as he says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They denied the faith. They didn't want to follow after Christ anymore. So again, the question, isn't leaving the faith a sin? Yes. Demas in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Demas in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Paul, as he talks about Demas here, and we realize that many men fall into the same category even today because of the love that they have had, and then they go back to it for the love of the world, they leave the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10 says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans, to Galatia, Titus, unto Dalmatia." But Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. If you can find a way to leave the Lord and go back out into the world because you're denying the faith and say that you're not in sin, there's many people that want to see it. But you're not going to find it in Scripture. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, when they got together and decided to lie about the money that was theirs. They were denying the faith. They were getting ready to do something. They already done it in their minds, but they actually did it literally. They went and they lied to the Holy Ghost. And the question was, when the land was yours, when the money was yours, wasn't it still yours and this, that, and the other? Why did you lie? We've got many men today that are lying about their status. We've got many men today lying about whether or not they're in the faith or out of the faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the verses 5. Brother Mark prayed that, you know, we need to examine our faith to make sure that we are in the faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. So are you this evening, or are you denying the faith? Have you forsaken the faith? Is your faith shipwrecked, as we looked at on last Sunday? It says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Except you be worthless, giving up the faith, thrown in the towel. Isn't leaving the faith a sin? The answer is yes, it is a sin. Many men today are in sin because they have left the faith. And we are praying and encouraging them to come back before it is everlasting too late. We need to do as Jude says in Jude 3. We need to contend earnestly for the faith. A man that has left the faith, he will not receive a crown. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 2, the latter part in verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. If you leave the faith, you will not get this. So let us remember what the Scripture says and do the things that God would have us to do. That is the answer to the question. If it is not to your satisfaction, I'll be glad to give you more Scripture references on it. And we can talk about it in further detail, but that is the answer that we find in the Bible. For the remainder of time on this evening, another question that came in to the radio program, and Brother Randy and I and Mark, we talked about this question and gave the answer again coming from God's Word. But as we look at it on this evening, I want us to know and understand why this question is asked. And for those of you that are here now, I consider mostly everybody here to be faithful Christians. And when we are approached with a question, we need to know that the answer is not going to come from man and his ideas of what God has said, but it's going to come from the Word of God and what God has stated and what He has said, and that we pass this on to others. The question, and I've heard this question ever since being a member of the Lord's Church, is the Church of Christ the only ones that are going to heaven? Members of the Church of Christ, or are you the only ones that's going to heaven? It can come in the form of a question, it can come in the form of a statement, or it can even come in the form of a joke. Where people will say, y'all think y'all are the only ones going to heaven. What do we tell them? How do we approach these individuals when they say this and when they have this ideal about what we say and about what we're doing, making sure again that we understand that the answers are going to come from the Word of God? And so as we look at it and talk about it, and you're not going to see this up on the board, but you're going to see me clicking. Will only those in the Church of Christ go to heaven? And we have to be careful when we answer this. Because if we answer it one way, one thing will happen. If we answer it another way, another thing will happen. So first off, let's understand the question. And if we understand the question, we can understand the answer. And if we can do both of those, there can be a great understanding what the answer demands. And we looked at a little bit of that this morning, coming from looking at the children of Israel and then looking at our own lives as Paul was talking to the church of Corinth. Why is it asked? Why is this question even asked? Why is it even important for someone to say, is the members of the Church of Christ, are y'all the only ones going to heaven? It's because of denominational views. It's because man wants their worship to be acceptable unto God. Well, we know in the book of Matthew chapter 15 that God said, howbeit you worship me in vain, teaching for the doctrine the commandments of men. So we have to know what the answer is all about and why these people are asking it. They're saying that the Seventh-day Adventists, that they're okay. They're saying that the Church of Nazarene, that they're okay. They're saying that the Catholic Church is okay. The Presbyterian is okay. The Church of God is okay. The Methodist is okay. The Church of Christ is okay. The Baptists are okay. Who's going to go to heaven then? Well, first we have to say, who established the church? And what is the church? See, this is a question that we don't just need to say, oh, we're going to ignore that. That's you know, you're concerned about the wrong thing. No, they're not concerned about the wrong thing. What they are concerned about, and they really don't want to tell you, is they're concerned about their soul's salvation. And when it's asked, they say that when we say that, yes, the members of the Lord's church, there's only one church that Jesus built, and if you're not a member of that, then you're not going to get into heaven. They say that we're prejudiced against all those other denominations. Who built those denominations? That's the question that we need to give to them. Can you find your religion, your denomination? Can you find it being established from God's word? Can't do it. They can't do it. And then another reason that the question is asked is because of ignorance. Because people do think that they have a right to exist and be acceptable in the eyes of God. Where an individual called in the other day when Brother Randy, I believe it was stating that Baptist is not in the Bible. And they came up back and they said, yes, Baptist actually was Brother Daniel. They said, Baptist is in the Bible. And they was mentioning John the Baptist. John did not build a church. Jesus built the church. So it boils down to the denominational view, the prejudice that they say that we have, and then the ignorance on their part for even asking the question. So what does it do? It puts us between a rock and a hard place sometimes. And the reason it puts us between a rock and a hard place, because if we say, no, the Church of Christ is not the only ones, members of the Church of Christ is not the only ones that's going to heaven, it's going to be hard for us to tell that from Scripture. Why? Because it's not the truth. And that's what we want to stand on. We want to stand on the truth. And we want men to realize that if we cannot show them in the Bible, then we need to leave it alone. If we say yes, the Church of Christ, the members of the Church of Christ, yes, we're the only ones that's going to go to heaven. You know what that does then? It turns that person off. You think you're better than we are. So why do I want to listen to you? So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to see where individuals say that we're closed-minded. We're going to see where individuals say, you know, what you've done is you're putting God in a box. And, you know, when they say that we put God in a box, what they want us to come and to say, well, you know, well, let's take him out of the box. And let's just say that, you know, we can do whatever we want to do and everything is going to be all right. Anybody that say that they believe in God, they're going to get to heaven. We saw that this morning from the lesson. Everybody that even says, Lord, Lord, is not going to get into heaven. But he to do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. So we need to understand what's going to happen when this question is asked and when we give them the answer. We need to, first off, we need to define church. Church is not this building. By no means is it any brick or mortar, but what it is people who are saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Praising God and having faith with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So it's people. It's not a building. And as we continue to look at it and think about the church and what the church is, we look at the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and the verses 16. Ephesians chapter 2 and the verses 16. and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. The body of Christ. You know, as being a member of the body of Christ, we have something great to rejoice about. We have something to tell people. You know, I become a member of the body of Christ, and the reason I'm a member of the body of Christ is because Jesus died for the sins of the world, and I have been obedient unto his will. I've done exactly what he wanted me to do. In Ephesians chapter 5, the verse is 23. Ephesians chapter 5, the verse is 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. That's church defined in three scriptures for you. Acts chapter 2, verse 47, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. You don't see where it says anything about it being a building. It's people. Also in Acts chapter 11, verse 20. Acts chapter 11, and the verse is 20. Acts 11, verse 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which were even when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Preaching the Lord Jesus. These men that were members of the Lord's church, who were part of the church. And it says in verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. The people turned unto the Lord. Not a building, but the people turned unto the Lord and became members of the Lord's church. How do we become members of the Lord's church? By being obedient, once again. By understanding what his word tells us. By hearing the word preached. You can't become a member of the Lord's church without hearing the word preached. You cannot become a member of the church without believing and turning unto the Lord. See, there are so many people today say, well, you know, I've heard what the Bible says, and now I'm going to accept Jesus Christ into my life. Well, how are you going to do that if you don't believe and turn to the Lord, if you don't receive the grace of God? You know, God didn't send his son just to send his son. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 1, verses 21, that thou shalt give a birth to a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Luke chapter 19, the verses 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those that are lost. The grace that God has for the world. To send his son to this earth. To die in order for us to live. And if you want to hear, you want to believe, you want to receive, that's going to put you in the church. It's not going to put you in any denomination or group, but it's going to put you in the church, only one church. And it makes us disciples of Christ. Doesn't make us a Baptist, doesn't make us a Methodist, doesn't make us a Seventh-day Adventist, doesn't make us a Presbyterian nor a Catholic. It makes us members of the body of Christ. This is what's so important, and as being a disciple, we really are Christians. We're followers of Jesus. We're pupils of Jesus. We're studiers of his word. And we understand if we depart the faith, then we will not get into heaven if we do not repent. There's only one church. Ephesians chapter 4, the verses 4, it teaches us this. See, these are simple answers that we can give someone. And you can start anywhere you want to within this lesson to tell someone who's going to get to heaven. Ephesians chapter 4, the verses 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in your one hope of your calling. One body. Not two, not three, not four, but one body. And if there's only one body, what body are you going to be added to when you become a Christian? To the one body that is the church. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And having put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, how many churches do you get out of there? You only get one, because that's all Jesus built, was one church. He promised that in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 18. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not your church, Peter. Not the church that, you know, not according to what John came and preached. But my church I will build. And we see that in the book of Acts, chapter 2, that the church came into existence. Not many churches, but the church came into existence. The Bible is silent about churches and denominationalism. But when we stand up and we talk to men, we need to know what the Bible says. So how many churches are there? One. Not many, but one. Many members, but not many churches. Denominationalism is wrong. You know, we cannot compromise. So, well, you might be right. Well, let me go and let me check on that. You may have a point there. I remember this brother was giving a sermon topic to preach on, and it was on the Baptists. And he stood up and he said, you know, I can sit down now. The Bible doesn't talk about Baptists. But yet he stood up for at least 30 minutes and talked about why the Baptist is not according to God's word. Just as we're talking today, talking about who is going to go to heaven. Is the Church of Christ the only ones going to heaven? First off, we need to understand that denominationalism is not found in the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Many times people will say, well, why come we can't do this, or why come we can't do that? And the answer we need to give to them, or the response we need to give to them, tell me why you can do it. So we find here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So denominationism is not found in the Bible. I don't care what denomination you're a part of. It's not found in the Bible. The church is not built by man. It's built by God. You go and you look up and you find a book that talks about the denominations in the world. 9 out of 10 books that you look at, the Church of Christ is not going to be in it. Because those people realize that man didn't build the church. Jesus built the church. I just challenge you to do that. You go and you look up the denominations of the world, and 9 out of 10 books that you look in, the Church of Christ is not going to be in there. Now, the Church of Christ of Scientists is. The United Church of Christ is in there, but the Church of Christ is not, because they don't want you to know that the Church of Christ was established by the Lord. And you can trace it all the way back to the Bible, but denominations you can't. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the verses 10. Contrary to the pleas for unity, that is what denomination is all about. When we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, as Paul was pleading with the men there, the church of Corinth, he was telling them, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. Be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Denominations do not want to join together with us. Sometimes they'll say, you know, we're not so far apart. You know, just because we have instrumental music, you know, that may be the only difference we have. Well, if you have instrumental music then, and you say that you're a part of the Lord's church, you have departed the faith. But they don't even want to say that. They just want to say, well, there's not much difference between us. You go ahead and be a member of the church, and I'm going to continue to be a member of the denominational group, and we'll see who gets to heaven. Neither one of the parties may get there. But I want us to understand that if you're not a member of the church, you don't have a chance to get there. But if you are a member, you have a chance to repent of your sins, and you can get there. When we look at denominationalism, it's contrary to the one body, to the one church that we just read about in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and also in chapter 1. It's contrary. You know, God's word does not contradict itself. So therefore, we need to understand the answer to the question. Is the Church of Christ members, are you all the only ones going to get to heaven? If we live faithful, we can get there. We can get there. Well, what is God's view, you know, about this? You know, is his view on this, is it narrow? Is God saying, you know, that, you know, don't look at it like that. Do not act that way toward people. Don't tell them that you're the only one that's going to get there. You have a right to tell them that if you are doing what you're supposed to do. You must be a member of the Church of Christ to go to heaven. It's sad that many of our parents, many of our grandmothers, grandfathers, uncles, aunts, good friends have died not being a member of the Lord's church, but some denominational group. That is one of the reasons why so many people today will not become members of the church, because they say, well, that was good enough for mama. It should be good enough for me. They'll be in the same place that mama is come the end. So we have to understand all what this question entails. The answer, this is what it demands, that you be saved according to God's word. That you put Jesus on through the water grades of baptism. That you deny and that you renounce all denominational ties. You know, I had to go through this. When I became a member of the Lord's church, I was seeking, I was searching, and I found the truth. Where? In the Bible, where it's always been. It was man that was trying to confuse people and still confusing people today. One church. If there's one church, guess what? There's only one way to get into this church, the Lord's church, and that is to be obedient unto the doctrine that the apostles taught, the doctrine, the teachings that Jesus taught. Mark chapter 16, verse 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Not many denominational groups that you can find out there that tell you that baptism saves. If you can find them, you tell them and you ask them, to show me then, if you say that baptism saves, why do you exist? Why don't you denounce those denominational ways? And why don't you come over and be a part of the Lord's church by you being baptized for the remission of your sins to be added to the church? This is a very, very important question. And a question that we will be asked and a question that we will have to answer, not just today, but until the end of time. And if we give them the wrong answer, we will have to give an account for that. You will have to give an account for it. I will have to give an account for it. So let's always pick up the book and show them what the Bible says. There is but one church, and Jesus is the builder of that church. If you're here this evening and you are not a member of the Lord's church and you want to become one, the opportunity is yours to come forth and make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have your sins washed away, added to the Lord's church, again, by the Lord himself, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Maybe you're strayed away from the fold and you're ready to come back. That opportunity is yours as well as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.